We will continue our discussion. We have been discussing from 15th chapter. So, King Chitraketu and his queen Kritadyuti were lamenting. And at that time, we saw yesterday, Narada Muni and Angira Muni, they arrived. And Narada Muni gave some good instructions to Chitraketu. Basically, the nature of body and soul. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. So, such kind of instructions. And at the end of it, Chitraketu Maharaj said, who are you in this? You must be one of these great saints, or you must be like these great saints like Narada, Angira and Asita, Devala and Kumara, Kapila, like that. He mentions. And Anugrahayeha Charanti Nonam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardanasya. And he says, can you please enlighten me more? Please kindle your flame of knowledge in me. I am a fool, like an animal drowning in the darkness of ignorance. So this is where we ended our discussion yesterday, for your information. Muktakesh Prabhu's information. While we were discussing, he was participating. So Narada and Angira enlighten Chitraketu again. So that is the rest of the chapter. Shri Angira Uvacha Aham Te Putra Kamasya Putra Dosmyangira Nrapa Yesha Brahma Sutta Sakshan Narado Bhagavan Rishihi. Now Angira actually reveals who he is and who they were. O Nrapa, Aham Te Putra Daha, I am the giver of the son to you. Actually, he didn't really tell the complete truth. I was that son, he didn't say. That would have been more shocking and unbelievable. He said, I was the giver of your child, but Angira. He didn't say. Yes, not spoke. He says, but Angira is not telling Chitraketu Maharaj. This is Angira speaking to Chitraketu, na? He is telling that I was the one who gave you child. He is not telling I became your child.
Yeah, but like that in between the lines, the conversation which
Yeah, but no, that was not in between the lines. This is that was a commentary of Vishnu Jagadakur. He says, Aham te putrada putrakamasya. I was the giver of the son to you, who decide a son. Yesha Naradaha, and this is Narada Muni. Bhagavan Rishi, he was a great sage, Narada Muni. Brahma Sutaha Sakshad, that very same Narada Muni, the son of Brahmaji, and that is him. Is that a purport? Ittam Tvam Putra Shokena Magnam Tamasi Dustare Atadarham Anusmritya Mahapurusha Gocharam Anugrahaya Bhavataha Prapta Vavam Iha Prabhu Brahmanyo Bhagavat Bhakto Nava Sadito Marhasi. Tvam Anusmritya, remembering you, Atad Arham Magnam, who are unsuitably drowning, Tamasi Dustare, in this insurmountable ignorance, Putra Shokena, because of the sorrow of missing your son. Mahapurusha Gocharam, and because you are capable of understanding and identifying great devotees, Bhavataha Anugrahaya Praptav Avam Iha Prabho, and in order to show you mercy, we both have come here, my dear king. Brahmanyo Bhagavad Bhakto Na Avasaditu Marhasi. The devotee of the Lord who serves the Brahmanas should not lament. you are both a devotee of the Lord and you have served the Brahmanas. Actually, Vishnu Jagadakur will say probably in this verse that he was not exactly a devotee, but just to encourage him. You can see and think of the Lord's devotees and great sages, like that's the way you have received us. Because he served the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, he is called Brahmanyaha Bhagavad Bhakta. Actually, however, he was not a devotee at all. At all means, at least definitely not practitioner of pure devotional service. Or even Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta. He was not a Bhakta means Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta or Kevala Bhakta. Others are called Jnana Yogis, Karma Yogis, like that. Even though they worship the Lord, but they are not called as Bhaktas. Because bhakti is not predominant. Bhakti is just a small part of karma for which they are attached to, or jnana for which they are attached to, like that. So in that sense, he was not a devotee. Otherwise, he was probably definitely a worshipper of Vishnu, but as a secondary part. Purport.
Several words in this verse are very important. The word Mahapurusha refers to advanced devotees and also to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maha means supreme and Purusha means person. One who always engages in the service of Supreme Lord is called Mahapurushika. Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit are sometimes addressed as Mahapurushika. A devotee should always aspire to engage in the service of advanced devotees. As Shri Narottam Das Thakur had sung, Tandera charan se bhakta sanivas, janame janame bhoye hei abhilash. A devotee should always aspire to live in the association of advanced devotees and engage in the service of Lord through the parampara system. One should serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the instructions of great Goswamis of Vrindavan. This is called Tandera Charan Sevi. While serving the lotus feet of Goswamis, one should live in the association of devotees, Bhakta Sanevas. This is the business of devotee. A devotee should not aspire for material profit or lament for material loss. When Angira Rishi and Narada saw that Maharaj Chitraketu, an advanced devotee, had fallen in the darkness of ignorance and was lamenting for the material body of his son, by their causeless mercy, they came to advise him so that he could be saved from this ignorance. Another significant word is Brahmanya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sometimes addressed by the prayer Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which offers obeisances unto the Lord because he is served by the devotees. Therefore, this verse states Brahmanyo Bhagavad Bhakto Nava Saditum Arhasi. This is the symptom of advanced devotee, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. For a devotee, an advanced self-realized soul, there is no cause for material jubilation or lamentation. He is always transcendental to conditional life.
Yeah, Tandere Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. Whenever I hear that, I get reminded of, I don't know if you know Manmohan too.
Yeah.
Manmohan too?
Doctor,
yeah. Mm. It reminds me of him because he keeps singing always this line, at least. I'll keep humming all the time. This reminds me of him. Tadaivate param jnanam dadame grahamagataha jyatvanyabhinivesham te putrameva dadamyaham. Tada evate param jnanam dadami. Actually, I would have given you this knowledge at that time only. Graham agadaha, when I came to your house. Putrameva dadamyaham. But I gave you not knowledge, but son. Gyatva anya abhinivesham te. Understanding your dvitiya abhinivesh. I gave you the son and not knowledge. Because to an attached heart, becomes very hard, and good sense becomes very hard to penetrate through that heart when it becomes too attached. Yeah, he was too attached. So he saw that it is not yet ready to take knowledge. That is why you have to be very careful when you see very solid attachment, philosophy does not work there. So you should understand. Then it becomes the ninth offense. Then it becomes very difficult actually. Sometimes when, like one of my cousin sisters, very talented, very, she's quite elder to me, very accomplished, and somehow her husband passed away, and her in-laws tried to cheat her of her wealth and all that, and somehow she's slipped into depression, severe depression, and she would not talk with anyone and anything. So her other sisters told me, why don't you please talk with her, you know, she's not talking, she has shut down completely, and if she continues this way, maybe in some time she might even leave her body. Because she was not eating, she was not cooking, she was staying alone. If she would just boil some milk, make some tea or coffee and drink, that's all. And of course, fortunately, her sisters are very close-knit. Now she has four other sisters, all are like very, very close-knit. So they all, wherever they are, they will cook and bring her. Every day. This has been going on for years now. She has not been able to come out of it. Years they have been cooking and bringing prasadam for her. So I said, I don't know, you know, if she will talk to me or not. I will try, and don't expect me to. I will try to, if she talks, I will try to listen and I will evaluate and see what happens. So she, Once she stopped using mobile because she didn't want to be contacted. She cut the landline, so no home, no way of contacting her. So once when my other sister went, she asked, he wants to talk with you, will you talk? And she said okay. So she called me and then I spoke with her. So it's very difficult, you know. She very carefully avoided any philosophy. Even though she was quite philosophically inclined person, she was quite devotionally inclined, but she would not, because she was in such a state that she didn't want to talk philosophy at all. So, but she would say, oh, your practices are nice. Are you praying for everyone? I said, yes, but I want to pray for you. What should I pray for you? She said, you pray for everyone. I said, yes, I'll pray for everyone. But I will specifically pray for you. You tell me what I want. What should I pray for you? She said, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Basically, that was her way of telling, don't intrude in my life. Don't try to, enough philosophy like that, you know. It was not, but she had more or less like a kritadyuti like mentality, sort of, in one sense, like not exactly blaming the Lord but questioning actually, what's happening, why is it happening like this. Of course she didn't open up so much, but I could sense it. I could clearly sense it. So not always philosophy works. You have to see. Sensitivity is very important. You have to be very sensitive and try to understand what exactly they are going through. And maybe pray. Pray for the right intelligence. Krishna, please give me the right intelligence. What should I do now? Should I? And then we may get some guidance actually. not like, you know, you take notes which are the verses I should quote. You know? Second chapter Bhagavad Gita, you know. So like that, it does not work like that. Sometimes people get, they don't feel, sometimes they may know the philosophy and they are just hoping that anything but philosophy, because people know it and they don't want to hear it again because attachment is too strong. So when you sense it, you don't, at that time you speak philosophy, you will lose them actually. They are looking for some empathy. So don't give them philosophy when they are looking for empathy. Just give them some, just empathize with them. Put your hands in their shoulders and say, yes, no problem, fine. So at that time you shoot them with philosophy, they will get shot dead actually. So they are not looking for that. You should sense it, because they grew up with you, they know the philosophy that you know. But still, you should understand that the attachment has taken over, and empathize, it could happen with anyone.
Everything is very similar with my mother's sister. Exactly the same what you're describing, she keeps on doing the same thing right now.
Yeah.
She keeps on, whenever she speaks to mother, she brings old things, you know, which happened in childhood, which happened during their marriage and all this.
Yeah. So, he says, I would have given you that knowledge actually, but seeing that you are absorbed, I did not give it to you at that time. I just instead gave you a son. So this is actually, this requires actually genuine advancement and prayers. So to know what will work when actually. So what will work when? So he didn't speak anything. Angira just said, Tatastu, do this sacrifice and you will get a son. And but he will give, he will be a Harsha Shoka. Only that much he hinted and left. He could have spoken all these things at that time, but he understood that it won't work actually. So that's all. Like, I think I shared this with you or somewhere. Like Prabhupada also knew exactly when to use what. So one of his disciples had left him and he had slipped miserably into material life, breaking all four regulative principles. But somehow his only plus point was that despite this situation, he loved Prabhupada. So he had grown long hair and in that situation with beard and all that, it was very, very difficult to see him in that situation. He had come once, probably in New York or somewhere. Prabhupada was giving a darshan and he was way back because he was feeling not so comfortable coming in front of Prabhupada, even though he was very close to Prabhupada before. So Prabhupada looked at him. He didn't ask, where were you? What were you doing? Nothing, because face is the index of mind, everything was clear. And he had been receiving reports about him. So he knew. He didn't ask anything. Why did you go? Nothing he asked. The first word that he asked him is, oh, will you start cooking for me again? He was shocked. The personal servant was shocked. He came to Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada, he left us long time back and he is not at all practicing anything. He is engaged in all kinds of abominable things. How can you ask him to cook for you? So he looked at him and he said, will you please cook for me? And he got surprised. The servant thought, maybe Prabhupada didn't hear me properly. He told again, Prabhupada, he's breaking all four regulative principles. He's not chanting Hare Krishna. He's not one of us. He looked at the servant. He looked at him and said, will you please cook for me? And then he started crying literally. And then he said, yes, Prabhupada, I'll cook for you. Then he shaved up and you know, and then he stayed after that. So Prabhupada knew exactly, you know, he understood what I should not be asking him now, what you are doing. That was not the right question to ask, because it would be too embarrassing in front of so many people. So he just said, will you cook for me? And he cooked, Prabhupada ate, actually. Now the same thing actually, if you see in the commentary, Vishnu Jagadakur's commentary of Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Shantim Nigachati Kaunte Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Pranashyati. The very first line of purport, the Purva Paksha is presented. This comes after Apichet Sudaracharo, right? This is the verse after 9.31, after Apichet Sudaracharo, he speaks this verse. And the Purva Paksha, the opponent asks, but how can you eat the food? Are you going to accept and eat the food cooked by this person whose heart is ravaged by lust, anger, envy, greed? Are you going to accept the food? How can you do it? He says, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Very soon you will become a Dharmatma. It's my problem. I am not asking you to eat. I am going to eat. What's your problem? Like that. So, same thing Prabhupada said, you please cook for me. Will you please cook for me? Like that. So here, same point here is made by Angira Muni. He said that, I saw that you are too attached. So actually, I just gave you a son and left. I didn't speak this philosophy at that time. So this is where actually sensitivity and maturity, devotional maturity is very, very critical actually. Even though we may know the right philosophy, but when to apply it, how much to apply it, to whom, at what circumstance, it needs solid devotional maturity. Like that. So, is there a purport? No purport.
Brahmachari ashram and emotions. How they two can
coexist? What do you think?
So can you elaborate on this?
So the question is, Brahmachari ashram and emotions, how can they coexist? Or?
Like, if people are too much emotional, then are they qualified for taking up the brahmachari life, or better they should?
Oh, if people are too much emotional, are they qualified for brahmachari life? It depends on the type of emotion. See, it depends. There have been quite... See, it all depends on the usage of the terminologies actually. The way you use the word too much emotional, someone may say, emotionally vibrant personality. And the other person whom you may say is not so emotional, he can be called an emotionally deprived personality. I mean, depending on how you see it. See, many times, Rupa Goswami did not speak about the Preeti Lakshanam only for householder devotees. These are for everyone actually. So we may say, no, I should not be very emotional. See, I mean, we can always have the perfection of Krishna consciousness is to develop Krishna conscious emotions, right? So, and it starts with devotees only, actually. We have to time and again ensure that it becomes Krishna conscious. But that's exactly the sadhana that is described in the Chatushloki also, right? Tushyanti cha, ramanti cha, right? Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyasha mito rati mito tushti. So rati and tushti indicate actually emotions. Nirvrittir mita atmanah, nirvrittir mita atmanah indicates emotion actually. What is the emotion that nirvrittir mita atmana indicates? The emotion of confidence. Yes, I can overcome the struggles in this association. Mito rati means what? Mito rati means mutual affection, right? Mito tushti means willingness or eagerness to spend time with each other for the rest of the life. Of course, keeping Krishna in center, that's already mentioned. Parasparanukatanam, pavanam bhagavadyashah. So with that, so actually, those who actually survived in the really long run have been those who really valued emotions in their brahmacharya ashram actually. Not those who neglected. So those who actually survived in the brahmacharya ashram, in the really long run, went on to become sannyasis, or even went on to become good grihasthas also, they never neglected emotions, where they, but they properly channelized it and utilized it in Krishna's service. So therefore, are emotions and brahmacharya ashram mutually exclusive? Absolutely not. I don't think so at all. It's just that emotions are not synonymous with emotions with opposite sex. Madhurya rasa is one of the rasa only. There could be sakya rasa. There could be a sense of vatsalya rasa. There could be a sense of dasya rasa. Not exactly rasa, but the kind of mood of relating with people, which are all possible within brahmacharya ashram also. Just that we don't explore it. Because always the emphasis has been something else. So we always think, as much as we think about sense control, saving ourselves from maya, these are all very important aspects, but the essential strength for that comes from emotional stability only. So that is why, if you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he is talking about Hridaya Daurbalyam, weakness of heart, which manifests in the form of succumbing to envy, succumbing to attraction to sense objects, succumbing to fault finding, deception. These are all he calls as Hridaya Daurbalyam, which are symptoms of a weak heart, a malnourished heart. So how can you overcome Hridaya Daurbalyam? He says by following NOI verse number 4. Dadati pratigrannati guhyam akhyati pruchati bhungte bhojayate cheva shadvidam priti lakshanam. So he says when the heart is nourished by Vaishnava priti, which is nourished by these four kinds of exchanges, six kinds of exchanges, then he says these four kinds of symptoms of weak heart one can overcome. So, and the same emotion is echoed by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manasiksha also. For overcoming these many of the anarthas, he gives Vaishnava Preeti as the solution actually. So therefore, can they coexist in the brahmacharya ashram? Yes, why not? I mean, you see that at least amongst you, I see quite good, grease or bonding. It's quite good, it's really good. In the long run, it should continue. We should pray that it continues. We should endeavor for this to continue because this is very vital actually. Because if it does not get satisfied here, don't think this is something which I can suppress and get away. In the long run, it will come back. Actually, for long, we cannot suppress. Because by suppressing it, actually we are making the heart hard. And by chanting and hearing, we are trying to make the heart soft. These are like two contradictory efforts actually. One of them will win. So, the best is to actually in a healthy way, engage these emotions. And you see, Maharaj dealings with his god brothers. Or you see Yamuna Mataji writing about Prabhupada's dealings with her god, with Prabhupada's god brothers. And many times she writes that seeing it, she was literally in tears, uncontrollably crying actually. One such episode she describes in Vrindavan when Akinchan, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj and one more god brother and Prabhupada, they were discussing about, Prabhupada said we should cut this tamal tree. You remember reading it? Krishna Balaram Mandir courtyard, the tamal tree. And they said, no, you should not cut it, And they had a long discussion. And then finally, you know, they all three of them walked hand in hand, you know, catching hands like that. They walked to the tamal tree. And then Prabhupada, all three of them inspected the tamal tree. And finally Prabhupada agreed, okay, I will listen to you. So we will not cut it like that. And Yamuna Mataji writes that, you know, even though they were speaking in Bengali, which we could not understand anything, but seeing the kind of friendships that they shared with each other, it literally brought tears, and she was uncontrollably crying, literally. Can you imagine, you know, you can't understand what they are talking, but the person is like, it's generating so much emotion like that. So yeah, why not? I think it's very healthy. And I think it's very important actually. Otherwise, why would Maharaj mention the 10th instruction to be the most important instruction? Right? Trustworthy friendships, trustworthy, affectionate friendships with each other. So, yeah, so I think it's very important actually. I feel that this should be emphasized very much. And automatically when Vaishnava Preeti is experienced, then I think the heart will become automatically nourished. And when the heart becomes automatically nourished, then we will not be so much troubled by lust, anger, envy, greed and other kinds of anarthas. I think this is a very healthy way of actually addressing it, and that's what Rupa Goswami has also given, Bhagavatam has given, Prabhupada has shown. So that's why I think, is it relevant to what you asked? I don't know. What did you have in mind? No, speak.
So I was also thinking about somebody having a
material kind of relationship, or
material kind of relationship exactly, but they're really sentimental. The mind is not much stable, so it is like, it's a lot of emotions going on, and they are material emotions. So like mental.
Brahmacharya ashram has a lot to deal with the mind. Yeah. So somebody is mentally weak and very sentimental in Brahmacharya ashram. Okay. So yeah, there could be certain symptoms which may be indicative of, maybe he can be a good devotee but may not be in the Brahmachari ashram. That could be like that. But being sentimental may not be one of them. But certain kinds of sentiments may not be favorable in Brahmacharya Ashram. But to in general have a sentimental attitude is that unfavorable for staying in Brahmacharya Ashram? I don't think so, because there have been very logical and very rational non-sentimental people. They have also, in one sense, many times you see them moving on. So you don't know whether it was a case of suppressed emotions or they were actually like that. Many people, they very suddenly you see their demeanors change. You have seen them for ages, they were not like that. Suddenly when they come to Krishna consciousness, they change very drastically, very soon. And after some time, after years or decades, then you realize they flip back and start living their real life. But by then they actually have to make a change. So which probably indicates that they have been suppressing their real nature for a long time. And it is unrealistic to feel that there is a reasonable level of expression is acceptable even within Brahmacharya Ashram. This is my opinion. And it is healthy. So when people make very drastic changes without the necessary level of internal substance and devotional maturity, they are probably suppressing it for a long time, and after some time it does not come out in a very pleasant way. So, and many times we do it due to peer pressure or some sense of fear or some sense of little bit of some psychological intimidation, and in the long run it does not sustain actually. So at least within if there is a strong sense of camaraderie without a kind of judgmental attitude, where it's okay, you can at least, there is some place where you can express, you can be yourself for at least some time. When that option is there, then they get an opportunity to organically grow in their devotional life, where, you know, getting some opportunity to express themselves, be themselves at least for a while, then I think in the long run that is healthy actually. But many times when you see people drastically changing from being very jovial and vibrant to completely grave, it goes on for 10, 12, 15 years and then there is some change. That could be one of the reasons actually, because it was like a very suppression actually, like that. So I think, yeah, healthy expression, healthy emotional exchanges should be encouraged actually. We may not speak about it, but when we start speaking about it, then people will understand that, oh, it's all right, is it okay? When you give them that confidence, then probably many people may feel little, yes, yeah, I think it's okay, like that. Of course, there are demarcations for that. But within that extent, you know, it needs to be little elastic, and I think it's reasonable. It's important, and it should be encouraged, and a sense of, when people experience that non-judgmental attitude, then people feel very comfortable actually, and that enhances the. It would not be a constricted relationship. So then, otherwise, people will think, as long as I am doing quite well devotionally, I can interact well with them. But when I am undergoing a problem, then I don't have the confidence to reveal because I may be judged. The people should not feel like that. So even when there is a mode of acceptance, whatever you may be, no problem, we accept you, you know. That's something which I really appreciated, you know. Rup Sharan Prabhu, Jayadvait Prabhu, they have chosen to move on. They are still staying here, nicely attending morning program, and you know, everyone is interacting as good as before. This is wonderful, actually. This is amazing. So this is important, actually. It's okay. So whichever way you choose to practice devotional service, we are there to support you. Yeah, like that. So I think that's very healthy, and that way I think in the long run it is very helpful. That's what I feel. I don't know if it's still relevant to what you asked. Yeah, but yeah, certain kinds of sentiments that you are talking about, certain kind of sentimental where you always need one person to be with you. Some people get, some that kind of emotional need. But many times it is, it probably manifests due to a neglect of healthy emotions to flow. So they sometimes, many times, when you see perverted needs, it many times probably is an indication of a healthy need being suppressed. Could be. So when sometimes you see a pipe getting burst and water coming from in between, which means in the conduit somewhere there is a block in that water to reach the tap. So it is stopped, so that is why it is coming from elsewhere, from where it should not be coming. So when a healthy emotion is suppressed due to whatever reason, then sometimes it may come out in the form of a perverted need at an age which is like in which it is not expected, actually. So I think we should understand it, we should recognize it, we should talk about it, we should encourage it, we should facilitate it. So then it remains healthy, and we will probably find less and less people expressing the unpleasant versions of it, actually. So, there is one question from Dharwad. Could you explain some more about the jovial to grave change? Yeah, I was just mentioning that sometimes due to some kind of peer pressure or some kind of commonly accepted norms, sometimes devotees may very abruptly change their nature from being, they might have been very jovial, and they abruptly or suddenly become quite grave and things like that, grave, non-expressive, like that. And because even within Brahmacharya Ashram they may not have an opportunity and an acceptable ambience and association to express such kind of this thing, they may suppress it over a long time, and eventually it may come out after years or even decades sometimes in not so pleasant ways, actually. That's what we were discussing. Okay. So, yeah. So that's what here Angira is telling. I would have actually given you the knowledge at that time only, but I saw that you were so absorbed and attached, so I didn't want to do it at that time. So, like that. Okay.
6.15.21-23 verses. Adunaputrinam tapo pavataivanubhutaye evam daragraharayo vividaishvaryasampadah shabdatayascha vishayas chala rajya vibhutayah mahiraajyam balam kosho prithyamatya suhrujjanah Sarve Pishura Sene Me Shokamoha Bayartidaha
Gandharva Nagara Prakyaha Swapnamaya Manorataha. So now why did you come and speak all these things to me? He says, Aduna Bhavata Eva Anubhutaye. Now you are experiencing something. What? Putrinam Tapah. You are experiencing the pain of being a parent. Before, you know, you are not a parent, you are experiencing the pain of inability to become a parent. But now that after becoming a parent, you are still suffering. You have seen both sides. So this is a good time to speak philosophy. O Shurasena, O king, Dara, Griha, Raya, your wife, house, wealth of a kingdom, various other opulences, the objects of the senses and the powers of ruling are all temporary. Chala. Land, kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation and distress. They are false like a Gandharva city, like the objects of a dream, a magic show or imagination. Basman hutam guhakaraddam ivoptamushyam, like that. Swapna maya manorata Gandharva nagara prakya. They are false like a Gandharva city, like that. Just hold on for a second. Hari Bol. The woman last name of Hari Bol. Oh, Abhay Bharan Prabhu ko puchho ke the ka. Okay. So, it has been said that wife and other objects, because of being temporary, are not real, and because of appearing and disappearing, they are the cause of suffering, which he had already mentioned in the verses before. Besides these things, other things also which are causes of lamentation, illusion, fear and pain are also false. He is mentioning more things here. One perceives that dream objects are false when waking up from a dream, but till then that experience is real, as good as real. Till one wakes up from the dream, you cannot distinguish between real suffering and dream suffering. It's not that dream suffering is any less vicious or harsh than real suffering. When you wake up, you laugh about it. But till you wake up from the dream, that experience is as real as real, right? Objects which appear through dreams, magic or imagination are false like a Gandharva city. Now that he is willing to wake up, now he is telling that you were in a dream, you accept it and you try to now not fall asleep. That's what he is indicating. Purport.
This verse describes the entanglement of material existence. In material existence, the living entity possesses many things. The material body, children, wife and so on. Dehapatya kalatradishu. One may think that this will give him protection, but that is impossible. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable, but even if it is favorable, one must give it up and again accept another body. In this way, one's tribulation in material existence continues. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never be able to give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angira Rishi and Narad Muni gave this instruction to Maharaj.
So that's what, you know, actually this change of upadhi, one should not just give up material upadhis, but one should reasonably replace them. So if that replacement is not there, then it cannot stay in vacuum for a long time. Like someone was asking me yesterday, that Prabhu, especially during japa, it is impossible to maintain the vacuum because you are told, don't think, just hear. And he says, give me something to think about, you know, like, I understand, you know, because vacuum is not sustainable. So that is why, you know, we have japa talks, right? You have something positive to think about the holy name so that you can at least keep pepping you up when the mind wanders, right? But he said, Prabhu, vacuum is not sustainable, you know. Give me something to think about. You know, it is not possible like that. I am thinking of sending him Radhesham Prabhu's japa talk. You know, you hear this. And if your mind is wandering, maybe after every four rounds you hear one japa talk. So, like that. So similarly, the material upadhi should be replaced with spiritual upadhis. See, if that is not there, then to be upadhi less is very difficult actually. Then we will regress back to our old upadhis. So, starting from the very first verse of Manasiksha, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Sada dambam hitva, he says. Damba, by damba here he means material upadhis, your material attachments, various manifestations of maya. So he says, Sada dambam hitva. So you can say like, dambam hitva. He says, Sada dambam hitva means, time and again you have to keep on showing it away. Dambam means pride, but here it means material upadhis. And then he says, so how do you replace it? So he says, Gurau, Goshte, Goshtalayeshu, Sujane, Bhusuragane, Swamantre, Srinamni, Vrajanavayuva, Dvandvasharane. He says, you replace it by establishing new relationships and attachments. So what should I get attached to? He says, Gurau, to your Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru. Goshte, to Vrindavan. Goshtalayeshu, to the Vrajavasis. Sujane, to the other Vaishnavas. Bhusuragane, to the Brahmanas. Swamantre, to one's Gayatri Mantra. Srinamni, to the holy name. Vrajanavayuva Dvandvasharane, and to the process of surrendering to Radha and Krishna. And he says, Kuru Ratim Apurvam Atitaram. And we are not asking you to give up attachment. Now I am challenging you. Try to develop an attachment to these eight things more than you have been attached to anything of this material world. Here is a positive proposal. So, become attached to these eight things more than what you have been attached to anything of this material world. So, the means is attachment actually. It is not just detachment. In fact, the means of detachment is attachment only. The more we get attached to these eight, the more we will automatically get detached. So, that's what here, right? Prabhupada is also mentioning in the purport. So, the means of overcoming the unfavorable upadhis is to actually develop the new upadhis. So, if we have ways and means of developing these new upadhis, then automatically the old upadhis will vanish. When you make new friends, the old friends automatically sort of go away. Like that. But we cannot just say, no, these are materialistic people, I will avoid. And at the same time, if we do not have spiritual friends, then it becomes, then how will our need for friends be addressed? Like that. Okay. So, that's what here he is telling, Angira is telling that now that you are experiencing the pains of a parent, now you will be able to understand that how these various things are actually temporary, they are the cause of fear, illusion, lamentation and distress. they are just like a Gandharva city, like the objects of a dream or a magic. It's just an imagination. Like that. Drishyamana vinartena na drishyante manobhavaha karma virdhyayato nana karmani manaso bhavan. Imaginary objects seen in the absence of real objects are not seen when waking up from a dream. So after you wake up, it's like, let's say if from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, if Muktakesh Prabhu has a nice nap and he dreams of Jagannathji's chappan bhog and you know, people are feeding him and feeding him and feeding him, and he says, enough, 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 and oh, my stomach is so full. And then someone wakes him up, hey, prasad ke liye time ho gaya, utho, utho, utho. So he will say that, arre pet bahut bhar gaya, abhi khaa nahi paunga, aisa thodi hota. So already probably in dream, because you are thinking of food, more gastric juices were actually secreted and you are all the more feeling hungry probably. Right? So, imaginary objects seen in the absence of real objects are not seen when waking up from a dream. So, when you wake up from the dream, you still have to eat, you know. They are products of the mind. Actions for attaining objects of a person meditating on those objects because of impressions of karma are also made of mind. So that is why they are called as Manoratha. And in Puranjan's case also, interestingly, the mind is of the form of a ratha only. It's a chariot. Right? So it is a Manoratha. Manoratena sati davato vahihi. And the endeavor which are impelled by that mind are also not real. In the sense, they won't lead to anything substantial. That's what he is indicating, that don't worthlessly run after this Manoratha. Running after the Manoratha means responding to one's instinct. He says, don't stop acting, but don't keep responding to your instinct. Respond to a value system. That's what he's indicating. Don't be instinctive. While act according to the injunctions and not instinct. Like that. That's what he is indicating here. Okay. So, Srila Vishnu Chagadakur mentions, imaginary objects are seen without some real objects such as tiger or snake existing, but when the dream is over, they are not seen. Right? Impermanent objects like wife and false objects like dreams all arise from the mind. So he is telling, what is the difference between a dream and real life meditating on material objects, material people? He says, there is no difference in one sense. That's what he is indicating. Dream is temporary. Your material life is also temporary. Your dream relationship is temporary. Which means, is your post-dream relationship permanent? That is also temporary only. Your dream is also created out of mind. Your material relationship is also created out of mind. Because your mind says there is a relationship that exists. That's why certain emotions are generated. Whereas another person who is not perceiving that relationship, when he sees you, no emotions are generated. Right? You perceive a relationship, so when you see someone, some emotions are generated. Someone else who is not perceiving that relationship, when he sees, no emotions are generated. Right? So emotions are perceived in the mind only. Just like dreams are perceived in the mind. So what is the difference? That's what here he is telling. Impermanent objects like wife and false objects like dreams all arise from the mind, since they arise from the desires in the mind. Actions also are composed of the mind because one meditates on objects because of his impressions of karma. Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama. Kama, krodha if not fulfilled, otherwise kama leads to action, karma. Like that. Because the action is composed of mind, the object attained is also made of mind. That's what he's telling. So basically material actions impelled by material vasanas are as good as
made of mind.
Made of mind only. Purport?
Everything material is a mental concoction because it is sometimes visible and sometimes not. At night when we dream of tigers and snakes, they are not actually present. But we are afraid because we are affected by what we envision in our dreams.
Mm.
Everything material is like a dream because it actually has no permanent existence.
Mm.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes as following in his commentary. Arthena vyagra sarpadina vinayva, vinayva drishyamana swapnadi bhange satina drishyante tad evam daradayo vastava vastu bhutai swapnadayo vastu bhutascha sarve manobhava bhava manovasana janyatvam manobhava. At night one dreams of tigers and snakes, and while the dreaming he actually sees them, but as soon as the dream is broken they no longer exist. Similarly, the material world is a creation of our mental concoctions. We have come to this material world to enjoy material resources, and by mental concoction we discover many many objects of enjoyment because our mind are absorbed in material things. This is why we receive various bodies. According to our mental concoctions, we work in various ways, desiring various achievements, and by nature and the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karmana daiva netrina, we get the advantages we desire. Thus, we become more and more involved with material concoctions. This is the reason for our suffering in the material world. By one kind of activity, we create another, and they are all products of our mental concoctions.
Yeah. Swapne anarthagamo yata, like that it is mentioned in the third canto. Ayam hi dehino deho dravya jnana kriyatmakah dehino vividaklesha santapakritudahritah. Ayam hi dehino deha, the body of this conditioned living entity, or the body of the jiva who thinks he is the body, which means conditioned. Dravya jnana kriyatmaka, made of dravya shakti, jnana shakti and kriya shakti. So kriya shakti is the senses, jnana shakti are the sense devatas, dravya shakti are the gross body. Okay. So the body of the jiva, of the conditioned soul, which is made of dravya shakti, jnana shakti and kriya shakti. It is said that this body gives various types of suffering and pain to the jiva. Of one who identifies with it. So it gives various kinds of suffering. So this imagination is just like a state of dream, that I am this body is like dream. But when you and waking up is compared to giving up this avidya and taking shelter of vidya potency, taking shelter of knowledge. When you come to that state, then no longer the body gives you suffering because you have woken up from the dream of identifying with that body. Right? So after you wake up from the dream, you just laugh about it. Right? However horrible the dream may be, there can be a few seconds or a few minutes of hangover maximum. That's all. After that you are normal, you don't even bother about it. we forget about it, however ghastly the dream might be. The moment you realize, oh, it was just a dream, that's all, you forget about it. It has been explained that attachment to objects is the cause of suffering. Now, identification with the body is described. The body of the jiva who thinks he is the body is made of gross elements, sense devatas and the senses. Like that. Purport.
In the 5th canto, 5.5.4, while instructing his sons, Rishabhdev said, Asannapi kleshada asadeha. The body, although temporary, is the cause of all miseries of mortal existence. As already discussed in the previous verse, the entire mortal creation is based on mental concoction. The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile, we can enjoy the physical elements such as earth, water, air and fire, combined in forms of iron, plastic, petrol and so on. Working with the 5 material elements, panchabhutas, as well as with our 5 knowledge gathering senses like eyes, ears and tongue, and our 5 active senses like the hands and legs, we become involved in the material condition. Thus we are subjected to the tribulations known as adhyatmik, adhidaivaka and adhibhautika. The mind is the center because the mind creates all these things. As soon as the material object is struck, however, the mind is affected and we suffer. For example, with the material elements, the working senses and the knowledge gathering senses, we create a very nice car. And when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers. The fact is that the living entity, while concocting with the mind, creates the material condition. Because matter is destructible, through the material condition, the living entity suffers. Otherwise, the living entity is detached from all material conditions.
This is what Raghuguna also says, right? Stalyagni tapat payaso bitaptaha tat tapatas tandula garbarandi. You remember? Remember this? Stalyagni tapat payaso bitaptaha. You know, because the pot is in fire, the pot gets hot, because the pot gets hot, because of contact milk gets hot, because of contact with hot milk, the rice gets cooked. Like that. So similarly, the jiva, he is not the gross or subtle body, but because he is in touch with the subtle body, and because the subtle body is in touch with the gross body, when the gross body is affected, subtle body is affected, and because of being in touch with the subtle body, the soul is affected, like that he says. Same point Prabhupada is also mentioning. But the point is that one should understand that yes, it is only because of being in contact, but in reality the soul is not affected. Like that.
When one comes to the Brahman platform, the platform of spiritual life, fully understanding that he is a spiritual soul, Aham Brahmasmi, he is no longer affected by lamentation or hankering. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, the Lord says, Mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manasashtani indriyani prakatisthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the 6 senses which include the mind. The living entity is actually part and parcel of Supreme Personality of Godhead and is unaffected by material conditions. But because the mind, mana, is affected, the senses are affected, and the living entity struggles for existence within this material world.
So Adi Bhagavan Prabhu is asking here, I heard that this material world is a real dream of Mahavishnu in Yoga Nidra. They say it's there in Brahma Samhita. Yeah, I have heard this many times also. Yeah. Okay. Tasmat swastena manasa vimrishya gatimatmanah dvaite druvartha vishrambam त्यजो पशमम आविश तस्मात् देयरफॉर विमृश्य कंसिडरिंग स्वस्थेन मनसा विद अ स्टडी माइंड कंसिडरिंग आत्मनः गतिम द नेचर ऑफ बॉडी एंड सोल त्यज विश्रम्भम गिव अप फेथ ध्रुव अर्थ दैट give up faith that the temporary objects are eternal. Dvaite, in this world of duality. Upashamam avishan, take shelter of detachment. Okay, that's what he is telling. So give up faith that the temporary objects are eternal in this world of duality and take shelter of detachment. So Sri Vishnu Jagadakur says, with undisturbed mind consider the truth of the soul. Give up faith or affection, thinking that temporary objects are eternal in the world of duality, holding the conception of this world, me and my objects. Amarakosh says, Shashvatas Dhruva Nitya Sadatana and Sanatana means eternal. What happened? Take shelter of a peaceful mind. I am not doing it. Vishnu Jagadaka was telling. That's just coincidental. Yeah. Purport?
The Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring human society to a sober condition. Because of a misdirected civilization, people are jumping in materialistic life like cats and dogs, performing all sorts of abominable sinful actions and becoming increasingly entangled. The Krishna consciousness movement includes self-realization because one is first directed by Lord Krishna to understand that one is not the body but the owner of the body. When one understands this simple fact, he can direct himself toward the goal of life. Because people are not educated in terms of goal of life, they are working like madmen and becoming more and more attached to the material atmosphere. The misguided man accepts the material condition as everlasting. One must give up his faith in material things and give up attachment for them. Then one will be sober and peaceful.
One must give up attachment, then one will be sober and peaceful. But the means of giving up this attachment is to develop spiritual attachments. Because it is not possible to maintain vacuum.
You know, sometimes we need to be detached. We need to give the sense of like Vishaya.
Correct. And for that we should have some positive engagements. Yeah. That is the means of staying away. So, that is why in one breath, in fact, even before telling give up material upadhis, Raghunath Das Goswami says, start developing the spiritual upadhis. So, it is spiritual attachment which facilitates material detachment. Like that. So, Angira was speaking till now, Narada Muni says now. Shri Narada Uvacha, Eta Mantropanishadam Praticha Prayato Mama Yam Dharayan Saptaratra Drashta Sankarshanam Vibhum. Abhitak Angira spoke, and when it came to giving initiation, Narada Angira. Of course, Narada Muni also spoke before. He did. Prayato praticha. Prayataha means with attention. Praticha, receive, with attentively receive mama from me. Yeta mantropanishadam, a mantra embodying the Upanishads. Yam dharayan saptaratrat, meditating on it after 7 nights, drashta sankarshanam vivum, you will be able to see Lord Sankarshan. My God!
7 nights.
7 nights.
That's too much.
And it was said that he was not a devotee.
That's
right. In this very same conversation, it was told, Vishnu Chakra Gurudev was not a devotee actually. And in 7 nights he is going to see Sankarshan. This is clearly Kripa Siddhi actually.
At least Guru had to do so much.
At least for six months.
Everything that was the shortest.
This is six. This is 7 nights.
Hey,
Parikshit was already a pure devotee. He had Sukriti before, that's the question of Adi Bhagavan Prabhu. Let's see, probably, I don't know, but at least it is mentioned he was not a devotee before, that much is mentioned by Srila Vishnu Chaitanya Thakur. Quite possible, but did he have Sukriti from before? I don't know, it's not mentioned. Maybe he had. But certainly 7 days of sadhana and directly seeing the Supreme Lord, I mean sadhana bhakti takes longer than that. I think, what do you think? Right? So that's definitely some strong dose of kripa involved, I think. Let's see what the acharyas have to say. What is the eternal object? Please tell me what it is. He's asking now. Give up attachment to the temporary and develop attachment to eternal. So now, Chittagata Maharaj is asking, what is that eternal thing? He says, Sankarshan. And in 7 days you will see him like that. Since Narada was a great devotee, at the suggestion of Angira, he then spoke. You see, he didn't just like that start speaking.
Yeah.
So this is clarified here, right? Since Narada was a great devotee, at the suggestion of Angira, he then spoke.
Preaching, I am done and he's taking the blue.
Like that. So it was like our Ashray Gopal Prabhu was preaching at IIT Bombay, and when Kanaya Thakur Prabhu comes, he says he will give class like that. That's definitely his senior, like that. So Narada Muni was senior. You won't say that. That's how Angira was also thinking. So Angira said, "You please initiate him like that. Accept this Upanishad in the form of mantra, mantropanishadam, like that. Eta mantropanishadam praticha prayato mama, like that." Is there purport? No purport.
Till now the shlokas were telling what is temporary. Finally the what is...
Eternal. So he has told. Sankarshan
so
is eternal.
This point is exactly not mentioning the shloka. Then what is that? If worship eternal, it is not there, no?
Worship the eternal. Yeah, that Vishnu Chakra course. Leela Spurti.
Yeah.
यत्पादमूलमुपसृत्य नरेन्द्र पूर्वे शर्वादयो भ्रममिमं द्वितयं विसृज्य सद्यस्तदीयमतुलानदिकं महित्वं प्रापुर्भवानपि परं न चिरादुपैति. माय डियर किंग, पूर्वे इन फार्मर डेज शर्वादय लॉर्ड शिवा एंड अदर देवतास यत्पादमूलम उपसृत्य taking shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarshan, Satyaha Visrajya, they immediately got free, Imam Dvitayam Brahmam, the illusion caused due to duality. Prapuhu, and they attained, Atula Anadikam Mahitvam, Atula, incomparable, Anadikam, unsurpassed Mahitvam, glory. Bhavanapi Param Na Chiradu Paiti, Bhavanapi, and you also very soon, Na Chirad, attain that very same position, Paramupaiti. You will also attain the same thing. So he's telling that I am not giving you something which is Mogasha, Moga Karmano. It is very powerful, and by the same method, Lord Shiva doth attain the lotus feet of Lord Sankarshan. Purport? No purport. Okay, so
Lord Shiva's worshipability
is also
Sankarshan.
Yeah.
Mm.
But with us,
later he will laugh at Shiva until that and he...
Yeah, yeah. Like Hari Bhakti Prabhu laughed at Ashwara Gopal Prabhu. Yeah. So, yeah. Bhagavad Shravan Prabhu is also laughing, I am able to see. Okay. Next chapter, 6.16. Hey, you have not sent the PPT yet?
No,
sending. Sending, send it, send it. Okay. Have you received?
Yes.
So soon. Got?
Okay.
Okay. King Chitraketu meets the Supreme Lord. Okay, that's the 16th chapter title. Some devotees have Bhakti Shastri exam today. They are not able to attend. And His Grace Sadayogi Prabhu is busy. Okay, no problem. Some devotees means what? As far as I understand, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu, Bhagavad Shravan Prabhu, and Sadayogi Prabhu, right? So Sadayogi Prabhu is busy. Who has Bhakti Shastri exam? And they are like, just like that attending, right? I mean, as a part of BVP, I think. I don't know. Yeah. Yajneshwaru. Lord Shiva, it'll come. As far as I know, Sankarshan. His worshipable Lord is Lord Sankarshan. Yeah. A fourth canto also it comes, right?
Rudra Gita,
I think, yeah, it is there.
But we are read then.
Yeah, I have not read it. Yeah. He was meditating on Sankarshan.
Ah, yeah, correct. In Daksha section also it comes, correct. Actually, in Daksha section only it comes, I think.
Mm.
He was meditating on Sankarshan. So, King Chitraketu meets the Supreme Lord. So, this is... And also, if you see, the presiding deity of false ego is Sankarshan. The controlling deity is Lord Shiva. Like that.
Divine station also.
Sankarshna Mukhanala. So both are involved in destruction also. Yeah. So King Chitraketu meets the Lord. There is a 16th chapter. So now, in order to give a final touch, innovative preaching of Narada Muni, the final touch. Okay. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha Ata Devarishi Rajan Samparetam Rapatmajam Darshayitveti Hovacha Gyati Nam Anushochatam. O Rajan, O King, Ata Devarishi Narada Muni Darshayitva brought into the vision. Gyatinam Anushochatam of all the lamenting relatives. Samparetam Nripatmajam, the dead son. Iti Hovacha. And then he spoke as follows. So this was the last preaching tactics. He brought the dead son back to life and made him speak. In the 16th chapter, Chitraketu is enlightened by the words of his dead son, receives a mantra from Narada. Actually, yeah, he is going to receive now. He said, I will give, but he has not given it yet. Praises Sankarshan and receives knowledge from Sankarshan. Okay, like that. Purport? No purport. Shri Narada Uvacha Jeevatman Pashya Badram Te Mataram Pitaram Chate Suhrudo Bandavas Tapta Shuchatvat Kritaya Brisham. O Jeevatman, O living entity, Badram Te, may all good fortune be unto you. Pashyate Mataram Chapitaram, just see your father and mother. Suhrudo Bandava, all your friends and relatives. Brisham Shuchatapta, they are absorbed with great sorrow. Patkritaya, because of your passing away, they are so much lamenting. Please get up. Like that he says. So why Narada Muni was doing this, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, seeing that it was difficult to stop the lamentation and delusion, Narada spoke through the sun to enlighten them. So it was Narada Muni, the ventriloquist. You know what is ventriloquist?
I read this very sincerely.
Find out. Ventriloquist means like making a puppet to speak, but you are only speaking. But your lips are not moving. But you can still...
That in TV is, you know.
Yeah. Find out. Anyone finding it out? Finding out meaning of ventriloquist?
W-V.
V-E-N-T-R-I-L-O-Q-U-I-S-T.
A person, especially an entertainer, who can make their voice appear to come from somewhere else. Typically a dummy of a person or animal.
You see? They can make the sound comes.
And he has
So actually, I mean, it was not literally a ventriloquist, but it was just a illusion created by Narada Muni that he made it seem like the sun was speaking. First, Angira appeared as the sun, then Narada Muni speaking through the sun. Purport? Kalevaram swamavishya shesham ayus sukhrit vrtah bungshvabhogan pitrapratan adhishtitanrapasanam. Kalevaram swam avishya, just re-enter your body. Shesham ayuhu bungshva, and enjoy your remainder life. Suhrut vritaha, surrounded by your friends and relatives. Adhitishta nripasanam, and accept the royal throne. Bhogan pitrupratan, and all the enjoyments given by your father, accept it. So, Vishnu Jagadakur writes, because you did not die at the proper time, you have the remainder of your life to live. Not true. That's the child itself was an illusory child only, nonsense. Narada is fooling the king. Actually, he did not have a remainder to live since this body was illusory. Okay. So, it's just... Is that a purport? Jiva Uvacha. Now, the Jiva is going to speak. Kasmin janmani ahim amimahyam pitaro mataro bhavan karma bir brahmya manasya devateryanrayo nishu. So this is very typical.
Difficult section.
Typical?
Section.
Section.
Section for Jesus.
I have been wandering by karma. Karma bhyat brahmyamanasya deva teriya nruyonishu. Hey, actually, I, the soul, have been wandering through various bodies. Devata body, human body, animal body. Kasmin janmani? In which birth? Ami, where these persons, mahyam pitaro mataro bhavan. In which lifetime were they my father and mother? You know, sometimes, our own devotees, they go to their parents and ask like that. Which lifetime? In last lifetime also you are my parents, like that. The sage entering that body then spoke as if the child had come to life. Mahyam should be mama, the possessive case. Is there a purport?
Purport. Here it is made clear that the living being enters a metal body that is like a machine created by five grass elements of metal nature, earth, water, fire, air and sky, and three subtle elements, mind, intelligence and ego. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, there are two separate identities called the inferior and superior natures, which both belong to Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to results of living entities' fruitive actions, he is forced to enter the material elements in different types of bodies. This time the living entity was supposed to have been the son of Maharaj Chitraketu and Queen Kritadviti, because according to the laws of nature he had entered a body made by the king and queen. Actually, however, he was not their son. The living entity is the son of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he wants to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. The living entity has no true relationship with the material body he gets from his material father and mother. He is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but he is allowed to go through different bodies. The body created by the so-called father and mother actually has nothing to do with its so-called creators. Therefore, the living entity flatly denied that Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife were his father and mother.
So at this stage, they were in a situation where they could understand this actually.
This was like, they were so much attached, full lamentation because of attachment. And the object of attachment is like, who we have, he shows indifference. So this is like the ultimate, are why you are attached to this person who is so, like, ultimate weapon to...
Bandugyatyari madhyastha mitro dasina vidvishah sarvayeva hi sarvesham bhavanti kramasho mitah. Bhavanti, one person becomes bandhu, a relative through marriage. Gyati, a relative of one's father. Ari, an enemy. Madhyastha, a false friend. Mitra, a well-wisher. Udasina, and becomes indifferent to. Vidvishah or envious. Sarvesham kramasho, in different successive births. Okay. So like that he says, if only you knew that in my past life I was your enemy, would you still be loving me now? That you remember that very same enemy? I am that. Like that. When I die, seeing me as a son, you lament. But why do you not see me as an enemy and rejoice when I die? Your past enemy. Since all these relationships are temporary, that is explained in this verse. Bandhu are kinsmen through marriage, gyati is a paternal relative. Enemies are those who attack, mitra is a person desiring one's good fortune. Madhyastha is externally friendly and internally inimical. Udasina is a person neither friendly nor inimical. Vidvisha is a person who cannot tolerate another's superiority. The enemy in one life becomes the son in another life. It is a common saying that a son with good qualities who dies is actually an enemy, since he gives greater sorrow. So therefore he says, why don't you see me as that enemy? Like that, the purport.
It is our practical experience in this material world that the same person who is one's friend today becomes one's enemy tomorrow. Our relationships as friends or enemies, family men or outsiders are actually the results of our different dealings. Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting for his son who was now dead, but he could have considered the situation otherwise. This living entity, he could have thought, was my enemy in my last life, and now having appeared as my son, he is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Why should he not consider his dead son his former enemy and instead of lamenting be jubilant because of enemy's death? As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, Prakrate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Factually, everything is happening because of our association with the modes of material nature. Therefore, one who is my friend today in association with the mode of goodness may be my enemy tomorrow in association with the mode of passion and ignorance. As the modes of material nature work in illusion, we accept others as friends, enemies, sons or fathers in terms of reactions of different dealings under different conditions.
यता वस्तूनि पण्यानि हेमादीनि ततस्ततः पर्यटन्ति नरेष्वेवं जीवो योनिषु कर्तृषु. सो अनदर एग्जांपल ही गिव्स. यता वस्तूनि पण्यानि जस्ट एज कमोडिटीज हेमादीनि एंड कॉइन्स ततस्ततः पास अमंग पीपल एवं जीवः पर्यटन्ति इन द सेम वे द जीवा मूव्स फ्रॉम वन बॉडी टू अनदर बॉडी नरेशु योनिशु इन टू वेरियस वूम्स विथ वेरियस फादर्स एंड मदर्स एंड आफ्टर द कॉइन पासस फ्रॉम वन्स पॉकेट टू अनदर पॉकेट और आफ्टर यू हैव सोल्ड समथिंग लाइक दे से यू डोंट फीड अ सोल्ड हॉर्स. सो यू नो दिस, you know the story, right?
Govinda
story. There is a story where Govinda was asked to go back and his uncle Shishailapurna, he said that one doesn't feed a sold horse, and Govinda feels so happy. He considered, my guru considered me as his commodity. So he said, was so happy, and he said he returned back to Ramanujacharya. Like that. So, like that he says that once the, so Narada Muni threw the body of that boy, Harshashoka, he is telling, the coin has moved on. It's no longer your coin. You, just like when the coin moves on, you don't worry. When the soul has moved on, why you are worrying? It was never yours. It belonged to someone else. It was in your pocket today. It will be in someone else's pocket tomorrow. Like that. So because he may say, Chitraketu Maharaj may say, if an enemy becomes one's son, how does affection arise for that person as a dear relative? If you were my enemy in my previous life, then how did I develop affection towards you? So Harshashoka puts his hand inside his pocket and he and just dramatically presenting. He is not doing that. But he says, look, here is the money. I am attached to it. So now I give this money to you in exchange of some object. The money has gone into your pocket. I am not still attached to it, right? But while it was in my pocket, I was attached. The same way, while the jiva is in a particular body, it's the parents may get attached to it. This is explained through an example. Gold coins in an enemy's house are the cause of his murder. By chance, those same gold coins come to one's own house and become the object of affection, and they are used for enjoyment. Correct? In this way, the jiva enters into wombs of men, cows or donkeys having various fathers and mothers.
enemies, murder of enemies.
Yeah.
Gold coin, is that remember that?
That gold coin becomes a cause of envy. The same gold coin, when it is in your house, it becomes a cause of affection.
It has already been explained that Chitraketu's son was his enemy in a past life and had now appeared as his
Prabhupada's concluded only.
And had now appeared as its son just to give him more severe pain. Indeed, the untimely death of a son caused severe lamentation for the father. One may put forward the argument, if the king's son was his enemy, how could the king have so much affection for him? In answer, the example is given that when someone's wealth falls into the hands of his enemy, the money becomes the enemy's friend. Then the enemy can use it for his own purposes. Indeed, he can even use it to harm its previous owner. Therefore, the money belongs neither to one party nor to the other. The money is always money. But in different situations, it can be used as enemy or a friend. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, it is not by any father or mother that the living entity is given his birth. The living entity is completely separate identity from the so-called father and mother. By the laws of nature, the living entity is forced to enter the semen of father and be injected into the womb of mother. He is not in control of selecting what kind of father he will accept. Prakrite kriyamanani. The laws of nature force him to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer commodity that is purchased and sold. Therefore, the so-called relationship of father and son is an arrangement of prakriti or nature. It has no meaning and therefore it is called illusion. The same living entity sometimes takes shelter of an animal father and mother, sometimes a human father and mother. Sometimes he accepts a father and mother among birds, and sometimes he accepts a demigod father and mother. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. Harassed life after life by the laws of nature, the living entity wanders throughout the entire universe in different planets and different species of life. Somehow or other, if he is fortunate enough, he comes in touch with the devotees who reforms his entire life. Then the living entity goes back home, back to Godhead. Therefore it is said, Janme janme sabhe pita mata paaye, Krishna guru nahi mile bhaj hariye. In the transmigration of a soul through different bodies, everyone in every form of life, be it human, animal, tree or demigod, gets a father and mother. This is not very difficult. The difficulty is to obtain a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. Therefore, the duty of a human being is to capture the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, the spiritual father, one can return home back to Godhead.
Yeah. It is but natural to get father and mother, but it is very rare to get a bona fide guru. That's what Prabhupada is emphasizing here. And Chitraketu Maharaj just got a guru. And in 1 week's time, he will attain the Supreme Lord also. Nityasyartasya sambandho hyanityo drishyate nrishu yavadyasya hi sambandho mamatvam davadevahi. Now the principle is mentioned. It is seen, drishyate, nityasya artasya sambandha, that the relationship of one object, nrishu, with many people, hi anityah, right? Like money. It belongs to one day and belongs to another day, like that. The relationship of one object with many people are temporary. Yavad yasai sambandho mamatvam tavadevahi. Only as that the relationship lasts only as long as one has possessiveness of that object. When you have passed it on, the possessiveness vanishes. Right. So here Srila Krishna Jagadaku writes, for some time I was the son of Chitraketu, and for that time he showed affection to me. So this is the boy speaking. Afterwards I will be the son of someone else, and that person will show affection for me. This is illustrated by making a particular case to make a general statement. One object like a coin goes to another person's hand in one day during trading. Then it becomes his and no one else's for some time. This relationship is temporary. Purport?
Aside from the fact that the soul transmigrates from one body to another, even in this life the relationship between living entities are impermanent, as exemplified in this verse. The son of Chitraketu was named Harshashoka, or jubilation and lamentation. The living entity is certainly eternal, but because he is covered by a temporary dress, the body, his eternity is not observed. Dehi nasmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam ja. The embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age. Thus the bodily dress is impermanent. The living entity, however, is permanent. As an animal is transferred from one owner to another, the living entity who was the son of Chitraketu lived as his son for some time. But as soon as he was transferred to another body, the affectionate relationship was broken. As stated in the example given in the previous verse, when one has a commodity in his hands, he considers it his. But as soon as it is transferred, it becomes someone else's commodity. Then one no longer has a relationship with it. He has no affection for it, nor does he lament for it.
Yes, Adigopal.
Not just a joke.
Yeah, please. Very rarely you tell any jokes.
In night time when owner was there, Jamindar, and his servant was sleeping, and he saw that the whole ghas ka jota, the barn, was on fire. He became so aggrieved that my son is not taking care, then he called servant, "Hey, get up, see, the whole barn is on fire." He was very much aggrieved. And then servant informed, "No, yesterday only it was sold." Acha, take a soldier.
Yesterday only it was sold. Take a soldier.
Same thing, don't happen.
See, that's the point actually. Yeah. Okay. So, एवं योनिगतो जीव सनित्यो निरहंकृतः यावत् यत्रो पलभ्येत तावत् स्वत्वं हितस्य तत्। एवं इन द सेम वे योनिगतो जीव द जीव हु हैज एंटर्ड द वूम सह नित्यो निरहंकृतः इज एक्चुअली विदाउट एनी मटेरियल आइडेंटिटी निरहंकृतः इज विदाउट एनी अहंकार Yavad yatra upalabhyata, as long as he stays in that body, tavat svatvam hitasyatat, he identifies himself as the son of that particular father. Only till then. Actually, the soul has no material identity. As long as he attains a body with a father, he thinks himself his son. Or, though the jiva is without material identity, as long as it is in some body, the jiva identifies himself with that body. How can I have false identity since I do not identify with that body anymore? Therefore, it is not proper to tell me to re-enter the body. Oh Narada Muni, how can you ask me to re-enter the body? Like that Narada Muni is asking Narada Muni. So I... Narada Muni is asking Narada Muni. The jiva is Narada Muni only, na? He is the ventriloquist. Like that. So that's what he is telling, that I am not identifying with the body. You are asking me to re-enter the body. Why should I? I no longer identify with this body. Like that he is telling. Yeah. Purport.
when the living deity lives within the mortal body, he falsely thinks that he is the body, although actually he is not. His relationship with his body and his so-called father and mother are false, illusory conceptions. These illusions continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of living entity.
Okay. Esha nityo vyaya sukshma esha sarvashraya svadrik atma maya gunair vishvam atmanam srijate prabhu. Yesha nityah avyayah sukshmah. The Lord is nitya, eternal, avyayah, without change, sukshmah, beyond perception. Question is, where did it come that Narada Muni is speaking through the boy? In one of the purports, Srila Vishnachakra Thakur mentions here. Yesha sarva ashraya swadrik, he is the shelter of all things and self-manifesting. So now Narada Muni is giving knowledge about the Supreme Lord. The Lord is eternal, he is without change, he is beyond perception, he is the shelter of all things and self-manifesting. The Lord creates himself as the universe. Vishwam atmanam srijate means he creates himself, because the universe is a form of the Supreme Lord. Atma maya gunaihi, through his own gunas, he creates through the gunas belonging to his maya. So through the gunas belonging to his maya, he creates this universe. So Srila Vishnachakra Thakur says, since the jiva is dependent and powerless, there must be an independent controller. So who is that controller? What is he like? Since the jiva is covered by maya and the Lord is thus invisible, though he can also be seen, the Lord is described as Tat Brahman, because the conditioned soul cannot see that Lord. Because the speaker Angira is not covered by maya, being free from the ignorance as a Jivan Mukta, he is able to use words to describe this Brahman as a perceivable object. For a liberated soul, he is perceivable. Because Angira Muni is perceivable, like a person who understands the subject matter, he says, you see the point? And a person who is not understanding head or tail of it, he says, What point are you talking about? So, like that. So, because Angira Muni was Jivan Mukta, for him the Supreme Lord was perceivable object, but for... that's why he was speaking in this way, like that. So, he says, Esha Nityo Avyaya Sukshma. The Lord is eternal without change, beyond perception. He is a shelter of all things and self-manifesting, and like that. The Lord is described by three terms which are used in relation to the jiva as well. Eternal, unchanging and subtle, right? The jiva is also eternal, right? Nitya sarvagata sthanur achaloyam sanatanah. Unchanging, avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate. Unchanging. Unsubtle, sukshma. Keshagra shatavagasya shatada kalpita pare. 110,000, the tip of the hair. The jiva has been described by two terms not common to the Lord. What are the two terms? Dependent and without control, or powerless. Other qualities are next mentioned to show the qualities which are unique to the Lord, such as being the shelter of all things. He is addressing the Lord as Sarvashraya. Okay, he is the shelter of everything. The jiva is not shelter of everything. The universe is called himself because it arises from his shakti, which is non-different from him. So many times the Atmanam Srijati Atmana Pati Atmaiva Avishati, something like that, it comes. ఆత్మానం సృజతి, హీ క్రియేట్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. ఆత్మనా పాతి, హీ మెయింటైన్స్ ఇట్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ బై హిమ్సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ ఐ థింక్ ఆత్మైవ ఆవిశతి అండ్ ఇన్ టు హిమ్ ఓన్లీ ఇట్ ఎంటర్స్ లైక్ దట్. సో హీ క్రియేట్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ మీన్స్ ది యూనివర్స్ ఇస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, దట్ ఈస్ హిస్ మెటీరియల్ ఫామ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అ ప్రోడక్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఓన్ ఎనర్జీ. ఆత్మనా పాతి, హీ మెయింటైన్స్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ క్షీరోదక సాయి విష్ణు ఆర్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు. అండ్ ఆత్మైవ ఆవిశతి, ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ కారణోదక సాయి విష్ణు ఇట్ ఎంటర్స్ హిస్ బాడీ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డిజల్యూషన్ లైక్ దట్. సో ద వర్డ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ ఫస్ట్ టు ది యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్, దెన్ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు అండ్ క్షీరోదక సాయి విష్ణు, దెన్ ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు కారణోదక సాయి విష్ణు. The self, self, atma, the first. The first self is the universe, being is material energy. The second self is, are his expansions, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. The third self is also an expansion. Yeah, we were just discussing that how someone may say that you Vaishnavas, you are rejecting Devata worship as being polytheistic, right? Polytheism. And nevertheless, you worship Narasingadev, Varahadev and all these different forms. So how about that? Right? So, and you say that they are all expansions. Right? So, I think we discussed this many times before. But Krishna's addressing himself in Bhagavad Gita, if you see, the monotheism comes out very beautifully. So he says, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. So Krishna says, I am in the heart of every living entity. So he is addressing his expansion. Right? And he talks about అహం సర్వస్య ప్రభవో మత్త సర్వం ప్రవర్తతే ఆర్ మయాధ్యక్షేణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే సచరాచరం. ఐడెంటిఫైయింగ్ అగైన్ విత్ అనదర్ ఎక్స్పాన్షన్ కారణోదక సాయి విష్ణు, రైట్? ఆర్ సమ్టైమ్స్ లైక్ విత్ హిస్ గుణావతారాస్ బ్రహ్మాజీ, మహర్షయ సప్త పూర్వే చత్వారో మనవస్తత మద్భావా మనసా జాత ఏషాం లోకే ఇమా ప్రజా. దీస్ సప్త రిషీస్ అండ్ 14 మనోస్ ఆర్ మై మెంటల్ సన్స్, హీ సేస్. దే ఆర్ బ్రహ్మాజీస్ మెంటల్ సన్స్, రైట్? సో ఇన్ దిస్ వే ఇఫ్ యు సీ, ఈవెన్ దో మెనీ పర్సనాలిటీస్ ఆర్ దేర్, కృష్ణ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ అహం 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 ఎవ్రీవేర్, దట్స్ మీ, ఇండికేటింగ్ దే ఆర్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ ఇన్ దట్ సెన్స్ యు సీ ద హోల్ భగవద్గీత ఇస్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్, ఇఫ్ యు అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్ యాజ్ అ సెంట్రల్ టెక్స్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిందూస్. Even if you see, monotheism comes out very clearly actually. It is not polytheistic. Even though devata worshippers may say, if you think we are polytheistic, you are also polytheistic. You see Narasingadev, worshipable, Supreme Lord, Varahadev, Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, Supreme Lord, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Supreme Lord, Krishna, Supreme Lord, Rama, Supreme Lord, everyone Supreme Lord. How many Supreme Lords you have? Like that. But this is the understanding. So, actually if you see our acharyas, if you carefully see, we were reading from Chaitanya Shikshamrita also, a very broad understanding comes out from our acharyas. They have not been, interestingly, they have not been against any religion. They have not been pro any religion. They have not been against any religion. But they have been against ideologies. If you see. Huh? So, in Chaitanya Shikshamrita also he was telling, one should carefully identify across all religions, he says. Across, this is consistent in Jaiva Dharma also, he says. There is a, in Jaiva Dharma there is a conversation between one of the descendants of Chandkazi and the inhabitants of and the Vaishnavas of Godrum Dweep. So this descendant of Chandkazi, who is the current Kazi, he is a he's a Vaishnava. He's Muslim follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from the Quran, he presents proper Pakka Vaishnava understanding, quoting from Quran. And he said, this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us Quran, like that. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Chaitanya Shikshamrita and in Jaiva Dharma also, that you have to identify pantheism, polytheism, impersonalism, voidism. He quotes many such ideologies. Across all religions you identify, devotees identify these ideologies as being detrimental to their growth. And in the same breath he talks about and he says five secondary factors, he says, which may vary across religions. He says preceptors. Okay, you may call your acharyas and they may have their own prophets or, you know, apostles, like that. So that may vary. The name that they use to address the Lord may vary. Okay. And and like that he gives five things which may vary, which are secondary, he says. But as long as that religion emphasizes love of God, or at least a sect of that religion emphasizes love of God, you should not concentrate on the secondary differences and find faults with them. Rather, he says, but if you identify the existence of pantheism, polytheism and all these things, pantheism, does it not exist within Hinduism? Virat form worship is there. Polytheism, devata worship is there, right? And monism, right? It is there. Impersonalism is there. Okay, these are there in other religions also. He says, across all religions, identify these faulty philosophies and reject them. Stay away from them. But he never asks anyone to reject. He does not grade religions. He grades ideologies. Same Prabhupada, have you ever heard him speak against Islam or Christianity or other religions? No. But he has been Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. He has spoken always against ideologies. Same thing, exact same thing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also does. Same emphasis. I will read a small section from Jaiva Dharma. Very interesting. So this
Thank you. or not this chapter, maybe is it 5? I'm just trying to find out which chapter did I find this. Yeah, got it. Okay, so this is a very interesting conversation. Yeah, I can share the screen. Yeah.
दूरे तदन
ओके यू जस्ट हियर नो नीड टू सी ऑल्सो ओके सो दिस कॉन्वर्सेशन इज हैपनिंग इन गोद्रोम द्वीप ओके जस्ट इमेजिन यू आर इन स्वानंद सुखद कुंज ओके एंड the Devidas, Vidyaratna and Shambhu. So, okay, that is gone. So, Devidas and Shambhu sat close to Lahiri Mahashay. Forget about the personalities. Just then, the Qazi, a head of the Muslim religion and the magistrate of Brahmana Pushkarani village, he arrived. Has arrived. Okay. So, Brahmana Pushkarani is, you know, in today's day and age, it is called as Baman Pukur. You know, Baman Pukur. That's the place where Chand Qazi's Samadhi is there. That area is called as Baman Pukur. So, in those days, it was called as Brahmana Pushkarani. So, Pushkarani Pukur is the same thing. So, Brahman has become Baman, right? Like in Bengali, they don't call it Prabhu, they call it Pavu. Pavu. Like that. Parikamma. That is. Anyway, so he says.
They say in Maharashtra someplace, Brahman.
Baman. Baman. So, that's how Brahmana Pushkarani has become Baman Pukur. Okay. So, just then, the Qazi, the head of Muslim religion and the magistrate of Brahmana Pushkarani village arrived. Standing up courteously, the Vaishnavas welcomed the Qazi heartily. You see, heartily they welcomed him. In turn, the Qazi exchanged warm greetings with the Vaishnavas and joined them. Everyone sat together, expectantly waiting to hear from Paramahamsa Premdas Babaji Maharaj. He was like the head of the Vaishnav. Paramahamsa Premdas Babaji addressed the Qazi. He said, "You are truly fortunate being a descendant of Sri Chand Qazi, who was personally favored by our Lord Sriman Mahaprabhu. So please be merciful upon us." So this is how they are addressing. The Qazi replied, "By Sri Chaitanya's mercy, we are also the recipients of Vaishnava's mercy. Sri Gauranga is the Lord of our hearts. We begin everything by first offering our humble obeisances to him." But he is still a Muslim only. Lahiri Mahashay, who was proficient in both Urdu and Arabic, the languages used by the Muslims. He had deeply studied the Holy Quran Sharif, having read all the 30 Shafaras or corollaries. In addition, he was well acquainted with the Sufi philosophy and had studied many of their literatures. Taking the opportunity of the Qazi's presence, he asked them, okay, hear carefully. "What is the Islamic concept of mukti?" So what do we hear generally?
Going to heaven.
Heaven, right. So they generally we understand that they don't have any concept of mukti. They just go to heaven and enjoy their virgin woman like that. So now you see what Qazi has to say. The Qazi replied, our equivalent of the Sanskrit term jiva is ruh. This is an Arabic word. Ruh. Ruh is found in two conditions of existence. Ruh mujarrad, the liberated soul, and ruh tarkibi, the conditioned soul. Okay? You know these things?
Yeah. Oh, I'm quite familiar.
Quite familiar. Oh, you can say better. You are our Chand Qazi's representative.
Very Chand.
You know Arabic?
I studied.
Can you speak a little bit?
I read and write, I don't have confidence.
That's okay, we don't know anything, you can tell anything.
Whatever you say is
whatever you speak is Arabic for us. Greek and Latin like that. Our term for chit, spirit, is mujarrad, and for achit, matter, we use jism. Mujarrad ruhu, the pure souls, reside in the spiritual realm alam misal, that is their Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, whatever it may be. Which is transcendental to material time and space. Okay. The Tarkibi Ruh, the conditioned souls, they reside in Jism, which is bound by time and space. The Tarkibi Ruh, the conditioned souls, are endowed with a material mind which is full of desire and malafut, ignorance. However, the Mujarrad Ruhu, pure souls, are pure and aloof from the contaminations of Jism, the impure existence, and reside in the spiritual region known as Alam Al-Mashal. Right? I mean, abhi tak kuch, is there any, you find anything which is non-Vaishnava understanding? I mean, right? The Ruh is purified by flowering of Ishq, spiritual love. The place to where Paigambar Sahib, the prophet, was taken by Khuda, the Supreme Lord, is not influenced by Jism, but even there, the Ruh is Banda, servitor, and Khuda is the master. Master and servant. Jivera Swarubhoi.
Khuda.
Khudera. Khuda air Nishad Nityada. Khuder Banda. Jivera Swarubhoi, Allah ka Banda.
Okay.
Therefore, relationship between Banda and Khuda is eternal. Das and the Supreme Lord. To attain this status by purification is known as Mukti. You see? The Quran Sharif and the books of the Sufis have recorded all these points, but not everyone can comprehend these meanings. This is the point. Not everyone can comprehend these meanings. Right? What is the percentage of Vaishnavas in the traditional Hindu society? The proper, those who know the Vaishnava philosophy, what is the percentage? Very, very meager, right?
Less than
1%. Less than 1%, right? Or maybe it's, yeah, definitely less than 1%. So, similarly, those who have the proper deep-rooted understanding of the Quran may also be very meager, right? Since Sri Gauranga instructed Chand Qazi
on these esoteric subjects, we have been able to pursue the pure devotional path and become pure devotees. Through Quran only. Huh? Was Prophet Muhammad a pure devotee? He destroyed many demigods' idols. He was against idol worship. Let's see. That will be answered in the next slide. Lahiri Mahashay said, what is the essential lesson of the Quran Sharif? What is the essential lesson of the Quran? Can you summarize? The Qazi says, the Quran has described Behesht, the personal abode of Khuda, but has not greatly detailed Ibadat, liberated spiritual life. So, it has mentioned about the abode of the Supreme Lord, but what is life in the liberated state, that has not been mentioned, elaborated upon. However, we understand that life there is Ibadat, eternal, and in the presence of Khuda, the Mujarrad Ruh are engrossed in sublime joy by His sight. Mujarrad Ruh is the liberated soul in the association of Khuda. By His sight, He is eternally happy. All this has been confirmed by the teachings of Sri Gaurangadev. Now, Lahiri Mahashay asks a very powerful question. Does Khuda have a form? Qazi says, the Quran Sharif denies that Khuda has form. However, Sri Chaitanya elucidated to Chand Qazi that this indicates that the Quran forbids a jisamani, material form of Khuda, but does not forbid the pure mujarradi transcendental form. He denies material form. But not, even though it does not directly recommend, but Quran does not explicitly forbid worshipping of a spiritual form. The Paigambar Sahib, the Prophet, saw the ecstatic form of Khuda. Now answering Adi Bhagavan Prabhu's question. The Paigambar Sahib, the Prophet, saw the ecstatic form of Khuda to the degree of his particular elevation and eligibility. He does not say that he was elevated as a pure devotee. However, the rasa, spiritual mellows, were veiled to him. Were veiled, he was covered. Which means he didn't have access to rasa. Which means he was not necessarily a pure devotee as such. Lahiri Mahashay says, what is the Sufi philosophy? The Qazi says, in their philosophy, the main concept is Ana al Haq, I am Khuda, Aham Brahmasmi. The Arabic version of Aham Brahmasmi is Ana al Haq. Aham Brahmasmi. Your monistic Advaitavad philosophy and the Sufi Aswaf philosophy are very similar. Lahiri Mahashay says, are you a Sufi? Direct. Qazi says, no. We follow the pure devotional path. We are surrendered to Sri Gauranga. The discussion continued for some time. The Qazi finally taking leave of the Vaishnavas, offering them his respects. The evening concluded with congregational chanting of Harinam. Like that. So, the point is, you know, across religions, there are threads of karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. It's there across religions. Oh, okay. Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu asked the question. Okay. Okay. Whomever asked, but okay. So, oh, he has asked a question. Okay. Yeah, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu asked, was Prophet Muhammad pure devotee? He destroyed many demigods. Yeah. Yeah, but definitely he was against. Quran is against worshipping a jisamani or a material form, and
They over-focused on that rather than speaking about a spiritual form for which probably they were not qualified. There was an emphasis on worship of material forms, like totems, and there are many even like that. So, and of course, their followers, not understanding that there could be spiritual forms, they were blindly against the worship of even proper bona fide deities like that. So, okay. So, the point is that that our acharyas have been not pro or anti religion, but they have been pro or anti ideologies. They have identified non-devotional or pseudo-devotional or quasi-devotional ideologies and alerted their followers from being aware of those ideologies, aware of the influence of those ideologies. They have not been against any religion as such. You have ever heard Prabhupada speaking against a religion? Similarly, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings also, very broad-minded actually, he talks about, you know, you should be able to identify proper practitioners across religions. And even in Journey Home, if you see, when Maharaj was in Patna, you remember? Ram Sevak Swami, he has a disciple, what's his name?
Narayan
Shastri or something like that, right?
Narayan.
Yeah, some Narayan. And he had a Muslim friend. And they used to talk for a long time. And Maharaj was very surprised. And he said, hey, you are a devout Hindu and he is a devout Muslim. How could you be such close friends? And what did... was it the Muslim who answered or was it Narayan who answered? One of the two answered. What was the... if tomorrow, if the master of this dog comes dressed in an underwear, the dog will still wag its tail and come around his feet. He will identify. The Muslim said actually. And then, if we are not able to identify the same Lord who is worshipped across different kinds of practices, then he says that we have much to learn from the dog. Like that he says. So, you know, in that section of Chaitanya Shikshamrit, very beautifully, maybe in the next session, maybe if we get time, we will read some parts of that. Very beautifully, Bhakti Vinod Thakur identifies that how... like Maharaj also writes in that a sincere practitioner of one's own faith is empowered to identify similar sincere practitioners across other faiths also. And one does not, so that is very important actually. So that's how Maharaj, you know, also came across so many such sincere practitioners in Islam also and bogus practitioners within the Hindu faith also, right? In that same story. So,
even before, in those religions, there was, I mean, as of now, Christianity and Islam we talk about, there have been a lot of concoctions that have gone through the generations.
Yeah.
And there was never a powerful acharya that, like, how should I think before Prabhupada came, you know, it was not that the teachings were spread throughout, it was a Prabhupada, a powerful acharya who actually took, you know, and spread the essence of our Sanatana Dharma.
Yeah.
So that it was all.
Hodgepodge.
Yeah. So simply this is the case even with right now Christianity.
Christianity and Islam also, quite possible, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right understanding may not be prevalent. The even prevalent though, understanding may not be the right understanding actually.
Even though it is actually the topic so nicely explained what is the right understanding. It
yeah.
is there, but people don't
have yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So did we complete the did we complete the purport? Did we read the purport of this verse? Is it a long purport?
One page. In this verse, the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneously oneness and difference, is described. The living entity is eternal, nitya, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the difference is that the Supreme Lord is the greatest, no one being equal or greater than Him, whereas the living entity is sukshma or extremely small. The Shastra describes that the magnitude of living entity is 1/10,000, the size of tip of a hair. The Supreme Lord is all pervading. Andantarastha paramanu chayanta istham. Relatively, if the living entity is accepted as the smallest, there should naturally be inquiry about the greatest. The greatest is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the smallest is the living entity. Another peculiar characteristic of Jiva is that he becomes covered by Maya. Atma Maya Gunahi. He is prone to being covered by the Supreme Lord's illusory energy. The living entity is responsible for his conditional life in the material world, and therefore he is described as Prabhu, the Master. If he likes, he can come to this material world, and if he likes, he can return home back to Godhead. Because he wanted to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave him a material body through the agency of material energy, as stated himself, as the Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Ishwara sarva bhutanam riddheshe arjuna tishtati bhamayam sarva bhutani yantra rudani mayena. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. The Supreme Lord gives living entity a chance to enjoy in the material world as he desires. But he openly expresses his own desire that the living entity give up all material aspirations, fully surrender unto him and return home back to Godhead. The living entity is the smallest, sukshma. Jiva Goswami says in this connection that the living entity within the body is extremely difficult for the materialistic scientist to find. Although we understand from the authorities that the living entity is within the body is different from the living entity.
Okay, so we will pass here and it's 1:10 now. So 2:10 we will convene back and we will go until 4:30. Okay, and we will end today's session there. So 2:10 we convene back, or we come back at 2 o'clock and end at 4:20, whichever you want. I am okay with it. But tell me so that I inform them also. Either 2:10 to 4:30 or 2 to 4:20.
2:10.
Okay, so 2:10 to 4:30.